Well, good morning, everybody. We are going to study John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to conclude our series, All Glory Be to Christ. The concluding point I would like to make is that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is King, Jesus Christ is our Messiah, and Jesus Christ is the Word. Maybe that's a curveball, and hopefully I can explain that well enough for you this morning that it would be spiritually transformative and encouraging to you in your walk with Christ. I'd like to play a word association game with you this morning. Let's see how awake you are. Now, I'll say a word, and then you just sort of think of what do you think of when you hear this word. All right, we'll just start with an easy one. Jordan. Awesome, awesome. That's what you're going for, all right? So you guys get the game? All right. All right, so if I said the word evolution, what do you think? Maybe perhaps creation. If I said intelligent design, you think creation. This is a tricky one. I'm sorry for all that. Here, I'll go with an easy one. How about Trump? No, I'm kidding. Let's not. Euchre. You guys were thinking euchre, right? That's what it was. Let's not go there. All right. Now that you guys are all sufficiently awake and your pages are turned to John chapter 1, the reason why I bring up the word association game is there's a word, which means word, in our text this morning, and it's the Greek word, I pronounce it logos. I think that's right. I'm okay if I'm wrong with this. But there's a word there, logos, or logos, whatever, it doesn't matter. That word, L-O-G-O-S. There was a sort of a word association with that. If you were in the first century world, there was something that you attributed to it. And as I said, evolution, or intelligent design, as they were related to creation, if you were looking for a word association game using the word logos, you would say creation, you would think reason, you would think rational, you would think organized, driving force of creation. What I mean is that in the ancient world, or at least in the first century world, this word, logos, was like one of the most loaded words you could really use. It was intended to just simply be the word. Its literal English translation is word. But as I dug into this, I just realized how very little I knew or understood about the word logos or logos. And that is that it had for centuries been used to try and develop and understand in the philosophical world. If they were trying to figure out how the world was created, they used the word logos. They'd say it was created by this. There was some reason, there was some driving force, there was something behind it. And this was the way the world talked about it. So if you were a Greek-thinking or even a Jewish-thinking person, if you were talking about how was the world created, you would probably sit down for a cup of coffee and start talking about logos. Does that make sense? It matters because of our text this morning. Let's dig in. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. In verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word of God, or the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about, when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, as and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This morning, it is my hope for you that you would see this text in the way a first century person would have read it, because I think it will transform how you live in the 21st century. What John does by using the word logos or logos, every time you see the word word, he is reordering and restructuring the thinking of an entire generation of people on how to view and understand the world. All of these people have been chattering, "Well, the world's been created this way. It's this organizing, driving force, and blah, blah, blah," whatever they're saying. They're saying it's logos. And John is saying, this logos that you've been looking for, this driving, organizing, incredible force that has brought everything into creation, into order, is in fact Jesus Christ. And every mind was, and they're like, "Oh, it makes sense now." And they all repented and they loved Jesus, right? I don't know how it all transpired, but what John is doing is reframing a way of thinking in the first century world that was philosophizing about how the world came to order. I know that we're so intelligent, we've gotten past all of that, right? And we no longer, you know, spend long hours debating with people about how the world came into order, right? Right? I mean, okay, pick up my sarcasm, give me a little feedback. Thank you, Dick, for being alive. All right. He says in verse 3, through him, through this logos, through this Jesus Christ, through him, everything was made that has been made. In him is life. You're looking for the organizing, driving force of humanity? It's Jesus Christ. He is the one who is life. He is the one who has brought life. He is the light into this darkness. He was right there in the beginning, was Jesus Christ. You think John is out to lunch? Well, you pick up your scriptures in the New Testament, and over again, you get an understanding that Paul and the other apostles all begin to understand that the world is created through Christ. In Colossians 1:16, it simply says, "All things have been created through him, Jesus, and for him." In the wonderful opening of Hebrews, we don't know the author of Hebrews, but the Hebrews preacher, he says, "God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things." And he says this, "And through whom also he made the universe." He says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things through his powerful word." This powerful word, logos, is Jesus. He is the one who creates, sustains, all things have been created through him. For the ancient world, they thought somebody had to act, somebody had to do something. It had to be a speech. It had to be a word, something enacted. And what John is saying is when the Creator started to create, he spoke a word. And this word is here. And it's among us. And verse 14 is the crux of his whole thing. This word who organized, who created, who has formed all of this, this Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of His wonderful favor and grace and kindness and His truth. And it's here for you. If we believe that, what does that say about how you live your life? If Jesus is the one who created everything and holds everything together, then in 2018, who is going to hold your life together? Just an observation. I like to think that I am in control of everything. I know that you guys don't do that. I'm just admitting my own personal flaws, that I feel like I'm in control and that I can have my carefully scheduled plans and make sure, actually that's a lie, I go by life willy-nilly, but I mean that I think that I can control it however I might like. Who is the creator and sustainer of creation? Who's the creator? Jesus Christ. Who sustains you? Jesus Christ. Who leads you? Jesus Christ. If you believe these things to be true about who Jesus is, then what does it say about how you should restructure and order your life in 2018? James had a way of talking about this. People, they like to go around and say, well, we're going to go do this and we're going to go do that. And oh, you know, in a couple years, we're going to go and enjoy this. James says, who are you guys? But you say, if the Lord wills, we will go and do this. If the Lord wills, we will go and do that. We have somehow bought into this sort of idea that we can manage every single nook and cranny of our life, that we can have our carefully scheduled plans. I pull out my phone and I got my calendar and I can tell you what I'm going to do when and where I'm going to be at what moment. The kids have a dentist appointment this week. I can tell you right where I'm at and how torturous it's going to be, right? It'll be brutal. Thursday, pray for me, 2:00. We know our schedules, they're right there. And maybe yours isn't in a digital device, it's on your wall and you have your routine, and it's been your routine for 80 years. And that's okay. But somehow, this sort of pride turns in our lives that leads us to think that we are the masters of our own schedule. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And this Word that was the organizing, driving force of all creation calls Himself Jesus Christ, the Lord and Messiah and leader of your life. For me, when I start reading this passage, realizing just how significant Christ is to all of this hanging in the balance, Him being the one, the driving force, my sort of carefully laid plans start falling apart. And so what I would ask of you in 2018, in the spirit of looking ahead and saying our plans and our ideas, I would simply say, Lord, if you would will for me to serve you, show me where you would want me to serve. As the creator and sustainer of my life, if you would like me to give, show me where to give. As the creator and sustainer of all creation, the one who is Lord and King over my life, if you would like me to love, show me where to love and how to love. How do you plan your days? Do you plan them as if they are your own, or have you given them to the Lord? Do you sit down and do you listen to Him? Or do you tell Him what He needs to do for you? In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And sometime later, he decided to put flesh on and live among us and become our Lord and our King and our salvation. There is this troubling passage in our text about this light that has come and is shining. And people have decided to ignore the shining of the light. They've turned their back to it. There's people, even though the world was created through him, it says the world didn't recognize him. They didn't want to recognize him. And it seems this bleak and just terrible bit of news, but thank goodness John keeps writing and he says, but those who do receive the light, those who do accept Jesus Christ, those who do confess Jesus as their Lord and their King, you know what they're called? The children of God. The question I have from that text is, how do I receive him? Because I really don't want to be the first part of that section. I don't want to be the one that ignores the light. I want to be like, yeah, there's the light. I want to run in the light. Right? And you should too. I know that's so simple, but John is making a prophetic point about the human heart to say we resist coming and believing in Jesus Christ as King. That though the world was created through him, though the world should see they should see life in him. They should see hope and strength and mercy and love. The world doesn't see him the way that it ought to. And it resists. And I think in your own walk, if you've walked similar to my own, there are moments in your life where you just aren't really sure that you have received him, that you love him, that you're walking in the light. You feel like maybe my relationship with God isn't where it needs to be. And so the question for me is this genuine sense of, how do I receive this light in my life that I might be a child of God? Because I think that that's an ideal place to be. A place of blessing, a place of security, a place of love, a place of eternal life, of salvation, of hope. That this is where I want to be, as a child of God, beloved by him. How do I receive him? He says, believe. The word is pistuo, and whenever I say it, I know you think I'm swearing, but I'm not, and it means allegiance, it means devotion, it means a confession, it means pledging yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your King, and he says, believe. And so my challenge to you is the challenge that you need to face every single day, every single moment of your life, from wakefulness to sleep to dreaming, that our hearts would be devoted to King Jesus, that we would receive him through confessing him and loving him, devoting our hearts to him every day. You want a wonderful 2018? I can't predict it for you. And I can't tell you how to lose weight. I can't tell you how to stop doing whatever it is that drives you crazy. But what I can tell you with every bit of my heart is the best 2018 for you will be if you confess Jesus every day to be the leader of your life, to be the Lord of your life, to be the King and Messiah and Savior of your life every day, that you might receive him and walk as a child of God. Do you want that for your 2018? Do you want to receive and belong to King Jesus? I hope you do. If not, you're crazy and we'll hit you in the head with a tack hammer. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Word. And there's this perplexing and beautiful thing at the end of this section. There's a story in Exodus 33 and 34. The Israelites, they've gotten out of Egypt. They were there for 400 years. And by the miraculous work of God through Moses, he delivers them. And it's incredible. We have the plagues and there's this incredible moment. And you would think there's no possible way that people would screw this up. Like, it was plain as day that God worked through Moses, and he accomplished this deliverance of delivering the people out of Egypt and out of this incredible captivity. And sure enough, Moses is talking with God, and in the meantime, all the people are wondering, well, where's Moses? And then there's this ridiculous scene happens. You guys all know it. Charlton Heston, he comes down and he sees, Moses, he comes and he looks down and he sees these people worshiping this golden calf. And Aaron's like, oh boy, you caught us. And he just sort of passes the blame. They're like, we just threw all our gold in there, and then out pops this idol, this golden calf, and we're like, let's start worshiping it. And then they started saying, this golden calf that they've just fabricated for themselves is who delivered them. I imagine this is the moment on Christmas Day when the kids turn to their parents and they say, did you get us anything more? This isn't good. And, you know, the kids start not appreciating their parents, you know. I sense that this moment on a dramatically more significant scale is the children of God saying, we don't need you. We found what we want to worship. Exodus 33 and 34 are what Moses does after this moment. He was all set and ready to tell the people what they needed to do to live a life devoted to God. And Moses goes back and says, these people are stupid. You know what they did? They've turned your back on you. What are we going to do about it? And you have to forgive them. You have to. I don't know how you're going to, but you have to. And here's this offering. And he offers an offering. And he's just looking for some help and strength and wisdom. And God starts telling them all about himself. And then his glory passes by Moses. And Moses can't look because he's going to fry to pieces. I don't know how it works. You watch Indiana Jones if you want to know what happens. And I'm sure that my movie references are perfectly accurate. But if that's what happens, if you look upon the glory of God and the presence of God, Moses is looking away. And when God passes by, we hear the words that this God is compassionate, that he's faithful, that his love endures forever. And as this God passes by, he instructs Moses on how to love and seek him, and he gives him 10 words. He gives him the 10 commandments to honor the Sabbath, to honor your father and mother, to live a life fully, completely devoted to God alone and nothing else. And Moses goes and he tells the people this. This glory that Moses can't look and see, otherwise he would be completely evaporated or whatever happens, I don't know. This glory out of his fullness, I'm sorry, the Word became flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, who is full of grace, who is full of truth. This God of compassion, this God of kindness, this God of love, whom we don't have any place seeing, has put on flesh that he may walk among us, that he may lead us, that he may save us. And so I close with the parting words of the way in which I began this year. That 2017 would be a year dedicated to all glory being given to Christ Jesus. And it is my hope and it is my prayer and the constant encouragement to you that you would live your life bringing and giving all glory that is due Jesus Christ, our Lord our Savior and our King. Our challenge will come in the weeks that follow. I hope that 2018 is a year that we dig deeper into God's Word and that we love one another in a more deeper, more intimate and loving and kind way. That all of us together would walk faithfully, bringing glory to Christ. If you're looking for something to do, I'll bring that challenge next week. For now, I would ask that you would start the year marveling, worshiping, loving, serving, and reflecting on the glorious King Jesus Christ. Would you come and believe and confess and trust and know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The organizing, driving force of our world is Jesus Christ, our King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have given us through King Jesus. God, that we would not be far from you, that you would draw us near. God, we are so thankful for the testimony of 1 John that tells us that people lived with your Son. They spoke with him. They ate with him. They were welcomed and loved by him. And it's their testimony that we stand upon today, knowing that you hear us and you love us. And Lord, we pray that in all of our activities, in all of our worship, in all of our gathering, in all of our time spent in devotion and commitment and serving and giving, all of it would not be to make the name of Etna Green Church of Christ great. All of it would not be to make a name for ourselves. All of it would not be to make a name for myself. But God, that it would be for the glory of your Son, Jesus. As we close out this year and we anticipate anew, Lord, we reflect on your goodness and your grace. We reflect on your kindness and your glory. And Lord, we can't help but worship you and express to you, thank you. Thank you for loving us when we don't deserve it. Thank you for giving us a church family of which, oh Lord, we can belong and love and forgive and seek you. Thank you for your healing grace, the comfort and the love and the kindness you show us each day. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Lead us, your church, as we dedicate 2018 to a year in the Word of God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand with us in response?